AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. The National Weather Service has confirmed that tornadoes hit the ground in Mississippi earlier, and Alabama is in the forecast path of the storms during the overnight hours. And that's not all, according to CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson.
The potential for 4, 5, maybe 6 inches of rain in portions of eastern Mississippi and western Alabama. That's got a flash flood watch in effect, because when you have that much rain in that short a period of time, you are nearly certain to get some kind of flash flooding.
The Senate passes landmark bipartisan legislation to protect certain marriages. CBS's Michael George reports.
Senate lawmakers voted to approve the Respect for Marriage Act, ensuring same-sex and interracial marriages are recognized in every state. The Respect for Marriage Act would also prevent same-sex couples from being excluded from Social Security survivor benefits, as well as the ability to sponsor a spouse for citizenship.
LGBTQ rights can coexist with religious freedom protections.
The Senate-passed bill now goes to the House for passage before going to the White House for President Biden's signature. Michael George, CBS News.
A federal jury finds Oath Keepers founder Stuart Rhodes and member Kelly Meggs guilty of seditious conspiracy in the U.S. Capitol attack. CBS's Scott McFarlane in Washington.
This was far and away the highest profile Capitol riot trial so far. The jury here at the Washington, D.C. federal courthouse deliberated 3 days, then found Stuart Rhodes, founder of the far-right Oath Keepers, guilty of seditious conspiracy of plotting to block the peaceful transfer of power in America January 6th, and found one of his co-defendants, Kelly Meggs, guilty on that charge too.
On Capitol Hill, members of both parties in Congress are vowing to avoid a nationwide rail strike that could potentially derail the U.S. economy. A tentative deal was reached in September, brokered by the White House, but workers in four unions voted to reject it. So the deal will go before the House tomorrow. Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
We must avoid a strike. Jobs will be lost. Even union jobs will be lost. Water will not be safe. Product will not be going to market.
A strike could start next Friday. Officials nationwide are bracing for a post-Thanksgiving surge of respiratory illnesses. Family gatherings and large crowds at shopping malls and airports are the perfect breeding ground for the triple-demic of the flu, RSV, and COVID-19. CBS News medical chief correspondent Dr. John LaPook says, if you're not feeling well, get yourself tested.
Well, it's important to know the diagnosis because it can affect the actual treatment for COVID, for flu. There are specific drugs that can be given, especially if you're at increased risk of progressing to more severe illness.
This is CBS News.
Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Visit libertymutual.com to learn more.
Oil investments involve a high degree of risk and actual results may vary.
Oil keeps going up as the Russia conflict escalates. Get in on the next major oil boom now and help the U.S. with your patriotic investment that can potentially pay you monthly income for up to 20 or more years. If you're a serious and qualified SEC-accredited investor, you can take advantage of Encore Energy's projects. The U.S. government needs your investment in oil and is allowing you to write off nearly 100% of your investment in the first year. Call 800-278-7455. That's 800-278-7455.
President Trump has announced, and Ron DeSantis is rising fast. Who do you support for 2024? Newsmax wants to know what you think. Vote in the Newsmax poll. Just text the word FISH to 39747. That's FISH to 39747. It takes just seconds. Text FISH to 39747. Let your voice be heard. And watch Newsmax today.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at easterseals.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Here is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, November 30th. In Wood County, there is a special meeting notice at 9 a.m. at the courthouse to audit voting machines for the town of Sherry and the village of Millidor. The Wood County clerk will conduct a voting system audit on these units randomly selected by the Wisconsin Elections Commission. The Wisconsin Rapids Housing Authority will hold their public meeting at 1:30 in the community room of the Huntington House Apartments. In Portage County, the Solid Waste Management Board will meet at 4 p.m. in Annex Conference Rooms 1 and 2. In Adams County, the ARPA Workgroup will meet from 9 to 11 a.m. at the Adams County Courthouse for their regular committee meeting. In sports, the 6-1 Wake Forest Demon Deacons play the 5-1 Wisconsin Badgers tonight. The NCAA men's basketball game kicks off at 8 p.m. at the Kohl Center. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A few flurries possible at times, overnight, otherwise overcast skies. Lows dip down to about 19, westerly winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 24. Partly cloudy skies, tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 11. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 26.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. It's throwing me off a little bit because my Zoom is just frozen.
I just noticed that. That's really bizarre.
That's really bizarre. So I feel like I have to look at you, and I don't know if anyone on the live stream is just us frozen.
That's really weird. That's never happened. In all the glitchy things that have happened since we've started,
That's not been one of them.
This has not been a glitch before now.
Yeah.
At least you look good when you're frozen like that. Could have been a really terrible expression.
That is true. That is true. That's like, but now my whole computer's frozen, so I don't know how I'm going to be able to look up these websites of different organizations that I was so excited to be able to share, because I got some submissions already through my Instagram.
Oh, fabulous.
As far as, because what we wanted to talk about this segment was the fact that it is Giving Tuesday.
Yes.
And we wanted to hear from you on organizations you're excited about and you're planning on donating to. And did we get any text messages in the first part?
We have not gotten any text messages yet.
All right. Well,
844-967-2789. Text or call. Again, what's your favorite local charity? Who do you really think deserves a shout out? Who are you planning on donating to, or who do you donate to on an annual basis? Any favorite charities? We would love to hear from you. Again, 844-967-2789. I have to do some ramping here while Kristen can get her other backup laptop fired up. It's odd, Kristen, because I am still moving on our stream.
Well, I think my computer is frozen.
Oh.
I don't think it's just the Zoom. I think my computer is frozen.
Okay.
And so my ability to look things up, because we did get some submissions as far as people excited. And it's interesting because, not surprisingly, some of those organizations that people have told me about have been people who've been on the show.
Oh, wonderful.
And so some of that includes Joe Flick, who was here on last Monday.
Yes.
For Ignite the Spirit MKE.
Great organization.
One, and that's money that goes to families of firefighters. Mm-hmm. When families need to be able to come together, and as far as firefighters who've either gotten hurt or unfortunately passed away from fighting fires. Street Angels, which I need to be able to look up. Future Urban Leaders, Sojourner House, which we've obviously had Carmen Petrie on here before. Girls on the Run, Milwaukee Diaper Mission, which we've had the founder of that organization on the show. These are all Milwaukee organizations. One in Madison is Mentoring Positives. The person said, Will Green does incredible work for kids on the East Side. And so we would love to hear from you as far as organizations you're excited to donate to, or at least give us a call and just hype them up as far as what is the work that they're doing and what difference are they making in the community? Because I feel like it is a time to really highlight people. Did we get a call?
We have Paul on the line from Milwaukee. How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I just wanted to call an organization that's local and like really near and dear to my heart is Big Brothers Big Sisters of Metro Milwaukee. I've been a big mentor since 2018. And now my little's a teenager, able to grow and, you know, really be a young adult. And it's something that I think everyone should take advantage of becoming a big. It's a great program. I'd like to say that it's one of the programs that you can have fun volunteering. I don't see it as work. And, yeah, just wanted to give it a shout out.
Paul, what are some of the kinds of things that you do with your little brother?
Yeah, so it's really cool. The program actually offers quite a few sponsored events because it is kind of hard to think of, you know, cheap or free activities around the city all the time. But we've gone to Bucks games, Marquette games, really big into WWE. So we've got to see a wrestling match at the Pfizer. Gosh, we've done ice skating. I could go on, but yeah, there's a ton of things we've done, and it's kind of cool. I'm now a researcher, so now there's my children. So,
well, thank you so much, Paul. Really, really appreciate your calling. Big Brothers, Big Sisters. If you are considering making a new donation to a different charity this year, that's something to consider. And like Paul said, if you can volunteer yourself, that's probably even better.
Thanks so much for the call, Paul. So one of the other ones that I got this morning was from Law Forward, which is a legal organization that does a lot of stuff politically as far as things in Wisconsin. And so I wanted to touch briefly. We still want to hear from you, 844-967-2789. Different organizations you're either involved with or maybe you started and ran, and this is your opportunity to get free airtime to talk about that organization. But it's so I found out as doing a little bit more research on this because I always just kind of assumed this was a holiday that, or a, you know, kind of made up holiday, but it's in the same way that Black Friday and Cyber Monday are right. Made up holidays. But it was something that started in New York. And so the history of it, it was started in 2012. So this is the 10th year of this being kind of an organized global idea. And so it's based on the simple idea that it's a day that encourages people to do good. So Giving Tuesday was born and incubated at the 92nd Street Y, and it's a Belfer Center for Innovation and Social Impact in New York City. And it's now an independent nonprofit. And so you can go to givingtuesday.org and see all the different countries that they operate in and different programs that are involved. And at least in this way, obviously, it's become a bigger thing than just what this organization can track or is involved in.
Sure.
But it's a movement, and it's a movement that is bigger than just donating, right? And so what they say on their website is it's whether it's making someone smile, helping a neighbor or a stranger out, showing up for an issue or people we care about, or giving something, some of what we have to those who need our help. Every act of generosity counts, and everyone has something to give. And so we're just asking you, how are you showing your generosity today? And if there's an organization you're donating to or time that you're spending to spend with someone or volunteer, we would love to hear from you. Because I just think that the more we can talk about some of the good things.
Absolutely.
And the way that we show up for one another, whether that's financially or with our time or just how we treat one another. Because I loved this, and they had this on their website, this definition of what radical generosity is, the concept that the suffering of others should be as intolerable to us as our own suffering.
Wow.
Which I liked.
Yeah.
Radical generosity.
I love that. And it doesn't, as you said, it doesn't have to be monetary either. It can be really, really small things. I hold doors open for people all the time, and some people are genuinely shocked, and I get a big thank you just for holding a door open for someone.
Yeah.
Or waiting for someone as they have their arms full and you hold the door for them so they can get in. It can be really, really small things that I think even dropping a compliment on a stranger can change their day, right? If you hear something positive, if you hear something nice.
Absolutely. I think how we treat strangers is so important. and how much you know. Like, I was thinking about this the other day as I was watching the World Cup, which we're going to talk about later in the show, and the thousands of, not hundreds of thousands of people who are in this country right now showing up for this sporting event. And really, when you try to think about, every person has a story. So all those people that they pan in an audience have traveled to be there, and it's, you know, for them, maybe it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. And trying to treat all the people that you have in your life or you come across as strangers, knowing that they are full people with a full story and not just a blip in your day. And yeah,
we have Pat on the phone from Wind Lake. How you doing, Pat?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Jane.
What do you want to share with us?
So the organization that I'm very familiar and fond of is Versity, which used to be the Blood Center of Wisconsin. I've been donating over 20 years, and I'm a volunteer there as well. And it's a fantastic organization to volunteer with. They're very flexible. But the, you know, they do more than just collect blood. They do research in trying to prevent diseases or trying to cure diseases. Their outreach is far stretched. It's, you know, not just in a health aspect of, you know, just give me your blood and give it to somebody else. It's you know, not only is it reaching far in the scientific community, but it's also reaching as far as they can community-wise.
Say the name of the organization one more time.
Versity.
Adversity.
E-R-S-I-T-Y.
Versity.
Not adversity. Okay. It's Versity. It used to be the Blood Center of Wisconsin.
And what kind of volunteering do you do, Pat? You're not the needling. Are you a needle person?
No. Needles scare me. Oh, my. No, I volunteer. I welcome the guests at some points, you know, and get the paperwork going. I also volunteer at blood centers, or not at blood centers, at blood drives. And we also have just typical maintenance programs to keep our program going, where volunteers are needed to take care of the tasks at hand.
Well, that's great to hear. That's, yeah, thanks. Oh, yep. Thank you so much for the call. This is great. I would love to keep this going, and I know if we go to break soon, but I know that there's so many organizations across. I mean, and this is a thing I feel like I always come back to, which is the idea that there's so many people doing good things. There's so many organizations that are doing good things, and it runs the gamut from health initiatives and the people who need blood to animals, to the arts, to, and I think last night we got a call from the Milwaukee Symphony as far as becoming friends of the symphony, and, you know, and the ability to give, because all these organizations need to keep the lights on, and they're all doing such admirable work. So if you have another organization you want to highlight and give a shout out to, 844-967-2789. We're going to take a break. I'm going to try to fix my computer, and all we'll right. be right back.
It'll be fun.
This is Ask Us Wisconsin.
Need help paying for health care? As a health insurance navigator, my job is to help people find affordable or low-cost options. Call the 211 helpline to find an expert near you, or go to wiscovered.com, paid for by Covering Wisconsin.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists, in their own words.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring. Courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
In sickness and in health.
To love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting maketheconnection.net.
Shriners Hospitals for Children has been creating wonderful opportunities for children in need. This life-changing medical care helps them do the things they've always dreamed of. Go to loveshriners.org.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Mid-40s by Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are back live streaming.
I blame myself.
Why do you blame yourself?
Because I began the program by taunting the radio gods and bragging about the fact that we have our windows replaced and we have heat now and light bulbs in my producer's booth. And so it's my fault.
It is your fault. You jinxed us.
I hope.
You jinxed us. We were fine. We are still taking your calls and your text messages to hype up any organization you think deserves an extra little extra love on Giving Tuesday, 844-967-2789. I got another comment on our Facebook, As Goes Wisconsin on Facebook. We're on all social medias. For an obvious one, I think for those of us in Southeast Wisconsin, which is Hunger Task Force.
Oh, big time.
Who does incredible work as far as feeding people.
And Feeding America also.
Oh yeah, Feeding America is another really good one.
Yep.
I'm trying to think. I mean, yeah, we said Sojourner House and some of the organizations that have been on here, but I always think it's interesting as far as what people are drawn to as their cause. Like, I think for you, would you say it's animals?
It's definitely animals.
And I feel like I've always feel torn of, there's so many things I care about. And so how do you make the decision of what to give, where to volunteer? Because certainly I care about the arts, I care about kids, I care about women,
I know.
And there's so much. There's so much you can be involved in, and there's so much good work to be done and being done. And so I never know. It's mostly of, I think it kind of at random of, I certainly, I'm trying to think of the things that certainly get me. And it's certainly, I think the one that is consistent is every time I go to Wikipedia and there is a call for, we need to raise more money.
Right.
Because that's basically a universal site that is kept up by volunteers.
Which is remarkable.
Which is remarkable. And, you know, please don't cite it on your college paper, but at least it's always a good starting point to get information about something. So like the shared, especially as we see potentially the demise of Twitter happening, that Wikipedia, I feel like, is one of the beacons of what the internet can be.
And the collaborative.
And the collaborative sharing of information and updating information in almost real time. So unlike when, even when I was growing up, you needed to buy the new set of encyclopedias. Because the old ones are outdated. We have some updates on these different topics.
We were really lucky to have encyclopedias.
Oh, Oh, certainly.
You know?
Oh, no, I'm not saying that. That was a feat, right?
Yes.
To think of what it was to update encyclopedias.
Yes.
And then my mom couldn't even give them away. By the time they were leaving Madison and we were moving to Los Angeles.
Wow.
She had the most recent set.
Wow.
And at that being 2003 and the internet being a thing, she couldn't even give them away. She couldn't give them to St. Vincent de Paul
or Goodwill
or libraries or anything. Like, well, we have no use for these because they're going to be outdated so quickly.
And there's no room.
And so I just think it's, and we'll continue as we have breaks throughout the day, even though the next, after we could take the bottom of the hour break, we're going to talk, shift gears a little bit. Ben Bry, my brother, is going to be back to talk about crypto and if it's going to survive this FTX implosion of SBF, not to be confused with SPF, because this is something that I feel like has major impacts that for those of us who aren't into crypto or markets, don't always necessarily see the ripple effect that it can have, but it feels like this is a very big deal. So he's going to try to give us more background and explain it to us as he does often when it comes to finance and the markets.
He cuts it into more chewable pieces.
He tries to.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have to be like, what does that actually mean? I still don't know what he does. As anyone who heard that episode the first time he was on, I was like, what do you do? And he's
precisely.
And but if you have, we will continue to read your texts throughout the show as far as different organizations you want us to highlight. 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. And otherwise, I will share all of the recommendations that we get today on As Goes Wisconsin social media. And try to give a little love, no matter where, across all of our channels, and link them in our blog post for today. Absolutely. And so, but we don't have enough time to really get into it. But I thought this was interesting that two scholars who study public administration tried to answer the question of what is the right balance of any nonprofit spending their budget on overhead. So overhead being technology, facilities, equipment, staff training, salaries, program development, fundraising, you know, all of these things that are not going directly to the cause. So if you are a animal shelter, not going directly to the animals. And Big Brothers, Big Sisters, obviously that's a national program, there's overhead. And it was interesting. So they, obviously each industry of nonprofits is different in how they have to structure their budget. But they basically debunked this idea that there needs to be this starvation cycle.
You have to bare bones everything
to be the most effective that you can be. And so their study focused mostly on arts and cultural nonprofits because they tried to limit it to one sector. And so they looked at like museums and theaters from 2008 to 2018, and they looked at what the share of the budget was to cover overhead and how many people attended their events and expositions, knowing that for them, the outcomes to fulfill their mission is to get people to come to the museum, to come to shows. And what they found was, and again, this is at least for this sector, was that the sweet spot was 35% of their budget to go to overhead.
Really?
And that's what fared best in terms of attendance. So attendance declined by contrast. So attendance declined for organizations that spent extremely low or extremely high amounts of their budget on overhead. So as their attendance declined by 9% if they spent too little. And attendance for arts group that spend way too much on overhead fell by 30%.
That's a big chunk.
It's a big number, right?
Yes, it is.
And so I'm sure that there's more to dig into this as far as there's different organizations that budgets have to look different, because there's certain organizations that are completely volunteer run. But I think it's at least a signal that as a donor, the idea that it should be bare bones for overhead and everything should go directly is not the right attitude. All right, when we come back, Benjamin Bry will be here. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Shop.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Hey, it's Kristen Bry from As Goes Wisconsin, which is now a radio show. That's right, I'm taking the same fun and uncomplicated approach to talking about state and local news to the airwaves. Starting July 5th, me and my friends from all parts of the state and all different backgrounds will break down the Wisconsin headlines in a way that informs, entertains, and hopefully makes you laugh. Tune in to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, Monday through Friday from 12 p.m. to 2 on 101 FM The Shaw and WAUK 540 AM.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you, I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Over the past few years, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected how we live our daily lives. Today, we also face a mental health pandemic that threatens our well-being as we attempt to rebuild our social networks and communities.
The pandemic has reminded us to value family, community, and our human connections. However, it has also left many of us feeling more isolated, confused, and alone, struggling to find meaning amid loss and uncertainty.
Today, 1 in 5 Americans experience emotional and mental health challenges. But many of us do not understand what we are facing or know how to ask for help.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you are going through, and we are here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental health. If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m., right before the Sunshine Polka Party Show. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Data shows that after a child turns 9 in foster care, they are much less likely to be adopted. But the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption believes every child is adoptable.
Families, if you're able to let your hair down a little bit, there's a lot to learn from teenagers.
The clock is ticking for teens at risk of aging out of foster care. Learn how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The Wisconsin DOT will be holding a public involvement meeting to discuss options for a project from Poplar Street to the Wisconsin 73, Wisconsin 80, Wood County A intersection in Pittsville. DOT officials will discuss roundabout versus all-way stop options during the meeting on Wednesday, November 30th from 5 to 6 p.m. at the Pittsville Community Center. The public is invited to attend and ask questions regarding the project. The Village of Plover is joining with the Town of Plover to start its own Visitors Bureau. They are withdrawing from the Stevens Point organization to focus on promoting developments and happenings in their neighborhoods. This will allow them to better advocate for the people who live in these areas, but will also benefit the surrounding communities as well. Officials have not decided if they will need a new visitor center yet or not, but they will likely hire more employees to make their vision a reality. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A few flurries possible at times, overnight, otherwise overcast skies. Lows dip down to about 19, westerly winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 24. Partly cloudy skies, tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 11. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Vujcicki. Currently it's 26.
My expertise. And one of the big stories that was unfolding as I was on vacation that I didn't know much about, which is why I invited him on here to talk about it, which is the implosion of FTX, which is a cryptocurrency exchange for what I think, and he'll correct me if I'm wrong. And I think this is the same guys who ran the Larry David Super Bowl commercial just a year ago. Is that right, Ben?
Yeah, that's correct.
And so clearly they were doing great. And then almost overnight, they just completely lost all of their funds. Is that the gist of it?
No, not really.
Okay. I mean, well, go ahead.
I think it's kind of like, you know, if you think back about the early days of banking, before there was a central bank, there was these things like most banks had their own currency. Okay. So you didn't have like US dollars issued by the Federal Reserve because there was no Federal Reserve. So every bank issued their own currency. You would save your money, AKA your gold, with them. So let's think about in
what year are we talking? Where is this in the historical timeline?
Pre 1913 when the Federal Reserve started.
All right.
So like, you know, the talk about like the civil, like the 1800s up to that time, there was different banks. Different banks had their own currency. Obviously, some were more reputable than others. J.P. Morgan was the biggest one, but there was other, you know, local. So a lot of them went out of business because in banking, there's an asset liability mismatch that happens. So most people think about they put their money at a bank and that money's there. But the reality is if everybody went to the bank right now and requested their money, not all that money's there.
Mm-hmm. So, which is what happened with the stock market crash back in the start of the Great Depression.
Yeah, and also in 08, like in 2008, same thing.
And so also in It's a Wonderful Life, but I just thought I'd throw that in.
'Tis the season.
Also, yeah. But that's a good like way to think about it because people know that movie and it's almost Christmas time. So you deposit your money, banks issue loans with your money as the part of the collateral along with their money. And then there's just this new money. But what happens is sometimes the value of what their assets, which is, you know, your liability, crashes. And, you know, for the 08, it was the housing prices that went down. For this, it was the crypto values. And so they had all these assets. And then their assets went down. Now, the argument is that people thought they were an exchange, so that they're like if you have a customer deposit account at an exchange, they aren't supposed to be able to access your deposits. So a bank can do that, but these guys weren't technically a bank. Now, they're offshore based in the Bahamas for a reason. Offshore entities tend to be a little bit skate on regulations and stuff. So the general, and look, I don't think it's all come out yet, but the general thesis of, or the general idea of what happened was last spring, there was a big token called Luna that collapsed, basically. It was pegged to the dollar, and then it ran out of assets. And sometimes this happens with fiat currencies also, most famously with the Great British Pound. But like it collapsed, and there was a bunch of leverage. And so I think what happened was the guys who were left standing post that was in April and May, basically were sitting there and they had taken the other side of those losses. And so I think they spent the summer, and a lot of guys in the crypto industry got smoked out during that period. So a couple of big hedge funds, a couple other brokers already went down. These guys kind of acted like they were going to buy these guys out, and they were trying to raise money in order to shore it up in the hopes maybe collateral values come back up, like asset prices come back up. And I think that they didn't get the money. And then there was another leg down this fall. And then it kind of came out that they were in bad shape. And then there was basically a bank run on them. And people were like, just like there could be with any bank, and people all, just like in Wonderful Life, they all take their money out at the same time. So I think that's kind of what happened there, but I do think, so then there's like some conspiracy stuff.
See,
and
that's what I also want to talk about, because it feels like the little that I do know is there's Democrats and political fundraising, and like there's more to this than just the banking side of it, or the crypto finance side of it.
So, and this is obviously everything I'm saying here is just speculation, right? I'm not speaking from a position of full knowledge, but I was involved in crypto a bit, and I kind of had an idea. And so there was in September, there was a guy who created the original stable coin in crypto called the MakerDAO, who had this like cryptic message on Twitter about how he had undercovered this massive, you know, conspiracy and slash pedophile ring, and that he expected to be dead within the week. And he was like, his body fell showed up on the beach like a couple days later, and everyone was like, wow, this is crazy in Puerto Rico. And so then, you know, that people kind of thought about that as an isolated thing, but then this started coming out, and then they were wondering, people are like, well, did he uncover what was going on here? And then, you know, people are now, cause SBF is family, you know, his father or his parents are Stanford professors. And like one of them's like all about the, elimination of cash in society. They're very connected with the big Democrats. So, you know, there's a reason why Bill Clinton and Tony Blair were at his conference, and in that he went from zero to hero. I mean, you know, I don't know if anybody's had a more meteoric rise from like obscure nobody to like, you know, the new Warren Buffett worth $20 billion or whatever.
This is SBF, not to be confused with SPF, the sunscreen.
That's right. That's right. Although he probably could use some SPF down there in the Bahamas. So the way I understand it is that, you know, he's the number two Democratic donor. And if you look at the Democratic publications, the left-leaning publications, they are like still pretty like cozy with them. Like for a guy who just collapsed a ton of value, which, you know, if Elon Musk would have done that, they would just been fire raining from the sky or somebody that they didn't like. So I don't know, you know, was there Ukraine money coming back from, you know, every one of these wars historically, we send money over there and then there's just lots of money that just goes missing. Mm-hmm. And apparently there's a lot now with this. I mean, but I remember in Iraq, they're like, yeah, there's pallets of cash and like billions of dollars were just gone. Like you didn't know where they went. And so, you know, there was no crypto in the Iraq war back in the day, but there is now. So, you know, there's a bank in the Ukraine. There's $200 million went out of for crypto to FTX. And they only had spent $22 million of it. They're like, where the rest of that go? I don't know. It's like, it's a mess. And like, you know, he had financed a lot of these guys. And so, I don't know, maybe there's something under there that they don't want to uncover. You know, look at Epstein. Like, that was incredible. The guy had dirt on all these powerful people and then he just magically died in his cell. You know, because... And they never, and really didn't come out with much more on that, did they?
Well, no, that was because Bill Barr came in and took everything.
I mean, I don't know. Leon Black just got accused of raping some girl at Epstein's house yesterday. The accusations came out, and you know that guy knew everybody. So I don't want to talk about that, but I'm just saying that sometimes when there's smoke, there's fire on these things, and we'll see how it plays out.
Well, and that's why I feel like it's an interesting story to try to pick apart, because obviously you've been invested in crypto. You know much more about how all of that works. But I feel like the political implications of this and like a story that I think a year from now we may look back at, because where do you, we're talking about Brent Bryan, my brother, who is also a 20-year Wall Street vet and founder, managing member of Deductive Capital. And we're talking about the FTX crypto exchange implosion and kind of the bigger picture of that. And I think I have two questions to get your opinion on of the bigger picture of this thing. Coupled with, you know, potentially arguments that we've just now had another tech bubble burst with all the layoffs that are happening across that sector. Does this one, what does this mean for the idea of these boy geniuses and constantly calling someone the next Warren Buffett? And then sometimes it's ends up being the emperor has no clothes and it's just a facade. But, and then two, what does this mean as far as the, like where you stand on the, future arc in history of where crypto is? Is it still something you think we will continue to move to and this is a step back? Or is this proving that this is maybe not the time to be moving forward with that?
So in terms of, you know, the thing about the next Warren Buffett, that's a tough one. I feel like that's like the John Madden cover. You're in trouble, or the Sports Illustrated cover. If you get that, your demise is imminent. Or the cover of The Economist. Like, whenever the mainstream media picks these things up, that's the top or the bottom, whichever side it's like. Because, you know, you think about journalists, they don't really know. Like, they kind of like hear other guys. They don't really critically think about these things. I mean, there's some good journalists. I don't want to paint everybody. But, like, the next Warren Buffett thing, there was the guy Chamath, who was the A-B testing guy from your past life. And he made a bunch of money with Facebook, and then he went off to be this investor guy. And yeah, it seems more like he was a charlatan. All his SPACs kind of like, I think he sold high, but it was more of just like a pump and dump scheme. So he's out of the running. I think Theranos is the fraudster.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if they called her the next Warren Buffett.
No, but she was.
But they did talk to her about the next Steve Jobs. They said she was the next Steve Jobs.
Oh,
so,
yeah. And she got some big investors to back her, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, big time.
And no one questioned her.
Who's who? Now, see, I think that, but you have to understand what the way that these things work is if you get the shtick or you get the aura, everyone wants to be in. They're like, oh, you're with, and you get one or two guys to vouch for you, and then you start posting good results. And by the way, they don't know what the results are. They just see a piece of paper and they're like, all right, feeling good, okay. Just like Madoff. And so it just gets these circles, and then everyone's like, oh, I'm in with that guy, and you're the guy. But, you know, not everybody produces results. And there's enough people in the world who are willing to, you know, be charlatans, sometimes fraudulent. But, you know, like Madoff was an interesting case because he didn't lose anybody's actual deposit. He just didn't make the gains that he said he made. So, like, no one technically lost money with Madoff. They just didn't have the money that they thought they had on paper. So it's a little bit, whereas like with this FTX, all the money's gone. So now that's like a little bit more like, but these things happen in finance. Finance is a bit of a pyramid scheme in general, across the board, not just crypto. It's also, answer your second question. Now, I think crypto will be fine. I think the problem with crypto is that it's global and it's very, very, very difficult for regulators to even have a chance, right? Like I was talking to, you remember Neil Chopra, who we grew up with? So he was the number two guy at the CFTC for a while as a government regulator lawyer doing the future, which is the futures exchange. And now he's at Binance. So he's at the Binance is the biggest crypto exchange in the world. And they're the central node of crypto. And, you know, he seems fairly positive, but he was like, we were laughing about it. And the reality is these things happen. You know, they happened in Refco, happened with Lehman. They've happened with Madoff. They've happened with other funds that you don't know off the top of your head. Like, finance kind of has this Ponzi-esque scheme, and it's susceptible to bad actors. So yeah. Does it mean because you had some bad actors in finance, whether it's a bank or a fund, that it's
Ben,
all
we gotta,
done? I don't think so.
We're going to let you go because we actually have some Supreme Court news that we gotta break. So, Ben Bry, as always, very fun to have you on here. We'll have you back soon. Thanks for your.
As long as there are veterans, the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks will never forget them. Throughout the year, Elks members in your community lend a hand, donate money, volunteer time to enrich the lives of this nation's veterans. It's not something these dedicated Americans feel they have to do. It's something they want to do. Join with America's veterans in saluting the efforts of your local Elks Lodge. Elks Care, Elks Share. To find a lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. In the past, you were involved with the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Today, your local Elks Lodge and community needs your help more than ever. Why? Because needs for helping the youth, veterans, and our communities are greater than available resources. Please consider becoming involved again. Contact your local Elks Lodge and see how little it costs to become reinstated. Visit our website at elks.org. Elks Care, Elks Share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693. It's not a- Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With the I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP. We're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
In honor of all those we've lost to cancer and those still fighting and thriving, like basketball analyst Dick Vitale.
I want to beat cancer. I'm going to beat it. That's no doubt in my mind. I'm going to win this battle.
Defeating cancer will take all of us. At the V Foundation, V is for victory over cancer. V is for victory over giving up.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Join our team in the fight against cancer at V.org.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
The Shaw 101 FM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. So it's so funny because both my brother, who was just on, and I, I've been very open with how much ADHD he and I both have.
Yes.
And he texted me in the break after we let him go that I simultaneously in the last segment got something caught my attention and the same thing happened to him.
Oh, really?
Because I think he had the TV on watching breaking news in his world, which would be finance, and I don't know, Bloomberg or whatever. And I saw breaking. So we both got distracted within that.
Well, you certainly are siblings, aren't you?
We are siblings. I don't know what his breaking news was, but our breaking news is Judge Darrow, Waukesha Judge Darrow, who obviously we all find out who she was because she was the judge who ruled over the Daryl Brooks case.
Right.
We just had Jen Dunn in this morning, who obviously was very intimate in and involved in that case. And I think there was speculation of whether or not she would get into the Wisconsin Supreme Court case. And as of today, Jennifer Darrow, the Waukesha Christmas Parade trial judge, to announce run for Wisconsin Supreme Court on Wednesday, which is tomorrow.
Yeah, that is not a surprise.
Does that surprise you?
No, not at all. She got a lot of national attention and certainly got the attention of a lot of people in Wisconsin as this case was going on, and her handling of it and her handling of him, I think, really impressed a lot of people and made an impression.
And so she was appointed in the Waukesha County Court in 2011. So she'd been in that position for over 10 years, and she was appointed by former Governor Scott Walker. And so this was the person who is they're replacing is Patience Rogensack, thank you, who is leaving entirely. She's not up for re-election. She's deciding not to run again. She is considered a conservative judge. Now, the reason why this is so important. So currently, right now, conservatives on the court hold a 4-3 majority.
Right.
The last election was in 2020 at the beginning of the pandemic, and it was Dan Kelly who had been appointed. So he is a former Supreme Court justice for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, he was never elected. He was appointed because there was an opening, and so he was appointed also by Scott Walker. So when he ran for the seat, he was beat by Jill Karofsky in 2020 pretty handedly, if I remember correctly. It was, I remember, because I had just gotten back to Wisconsin because it was the beginning of the pandemic.
Right.
And the first experience, it was really my first experience as an adult of the intensity of what elections had become in Wisconsin. And also on top of that, the story of, are we or are we not going to have an election in the beginning of the pandemic? And, you know, people, the high stakes of that election being the Supreme Court seat. And that would have gone, taken the Supreme Court, the Wisconsin Supreme Court, from 5-2 instead of what turned out to be 4-3. And it's not, what's interesting is it's turned out not to be always decisions coming down on party lines. Brian Hagedorn, who is in his own, I think, life, a very staunchly conservative person, but has shown to be someone who is, who, as I think judges should, adheres to the law. And so he's turned out more, surprisingly more times than you, I think a lot of people thought, to be the swing vote instead of just vote based on ideology.
I think he's been a big disappointment to certain people.
Certain conservative talk radio hosts have been very honest with their opinions of...
not happy with his decision.
Not happy with how he has ruled in certain things. But he is still considered a conservative judge. And I would say... So Dan Kelly is running again. It's Everett Mitchell, who is a Dane County judge. And I am losing the name of the Milwaukee judge, Jane... Ooh, Polish last name.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Prostowicz?
Sure.
Well, I bet Brian knows. Brian or Luke know the answer to this.
Absolutely.
So we'll get
correct.
Because we're planning to do a lot on the importance of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, because this is going to be an unbelievably consequential, important election. But something that doesn't always feel as obvious, and it's a little bit murkier, it's a little more complicated. It feels like something that should be nonpartisan because we're talking about judges, but it's not.
It's not.
And what's interesting about Judge Darrow joining the race is it had been the three. So how this will end up working is it's a nonpartisan spring election, and all this will be local. This will be mayors. This will be city councilmen. This will be school districts. And so these are the things that are not Congress, the state legislature, that are party line, that are you submit your candidacy under a party. But often parties get involved. But how it will work in February, there will be a primary, and the top two candidates will move on. And I think prior to this, having both Everett and Judge Everett, Judge Mitchell and Judge Pros.
Yes.
I need to get her name right. Being backed by left/liberal groups, I think the assumption would be that they were going to split votes. But Dan Kelly, being the only conservative candidate, would sail through. Now, having another conservative judge who has gotten national attention, and I think she does consider herself conservative. I think I was hearing someone talk about different papers she's written that she is much more of a conservative judge. That it's interesting. It makes the primary much more interesting because only two will move on. And I don't know the last time I would have to have someone who's more familiar with the history of primary races for Wisconsin Supreme Court races to see the last time we had four candidates in the primary. Especially two that were left of center and two that are right of center.
Well, and it will be interesting, too, to see, should Darrow defeat Dan Kelly and then get elected onto the court, she could also be another Brian Hagedorn.
Absolutely.
You don't know. You just don't know.
Because she's not picked, as much as this word is so overused, she's not picked by the establishment. The establishment of the Republican GOP donor class that behind closed doors is the people who are picking candidates, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously, Dan Kelly has been their guy. That was announced pretty quickly. Yep. He's already gotten endorsements from two of the other justices. He was also endorsed by Donald Trump, so it'll be interesting to see if he gets his endorsement again and how that fares. But this will be an ongoing story. I'm sure we'll talk about it more tomorrow. Dan Schaefer is going to be with us tomorrow, so maybe this is a topic we'll pick his brain on. But super interesting. Wisconsin politics, never boring. Which is why I've made a living off of it. All right, stay with us. We're going to do the top of the hour news and then come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Hi. Have you been trying to figure out how to finance your education? Let's be honest. The cost of college these days is staggering. If you have strong academic and leadership skills, you may be eligible for a scholarship from the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Every year, the Elks National Foundation awards more than $3.3 million in scholarships that range from 1 to 4 years. So pick up an application today at your guidance counselor's office or your local Elks Lodge. To find the lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. High school seniors, would you like to avoid student loans? Parents, would you like to give your child a better future without mortgaging your own? Well, a $60,000 ELK scholarship may just be your ticket to the college of your choice. Each year, the Elks National Foundation and your local Elks Lodge provides millions of dollars in college scholarships to high school seniors. If you're interested in learning more about the Elks scholarship opportunities, visit our website at elks.org. Elks care, Elks share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your place for this.